Okay. Once upon a time, we were driving back from the tour. On the we had just finished up in Sioux Falls, and we were mentioned again recently. If you'll remember, right, Becky?
We were.
Yeah. And anyway, we were on our way back, and we were listening to a non-affiliated minor league baseball team. It was it was the Canaries. I forget what.
Yes, Sioux Falls Canaries.
The Sioux Falls Canaries.
They do a lot of mining in that town, apparently.
And well, the umpire was going a little crazy that day, it seemed like, because they threw out half the team, it seemed like, for falling asleep at the switch, or because they had the wrong color tie on, or the fact they had a tie on at a baseball game. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, they were out of batting order. So they put their pitcher on, and it was a DH league, so this pitcher had never batted professionally, and they basically, I'm sure the batting coach just gave him the bat and said, hey, get up there, hold the ball, get it out. Move on with your life, right? That's not what happened. He took a swing at it and got a line drive. Or no, it was just a grounder between
something like
between
that. But he
second
got
and shortstop, but he got on base.
Yep.
Next guy hit an infield triple. Winning run comes in. Batter is officially batting 1,000.
Why do you tell this story today, Sam?
Because on days like Mother's Day, where everybody's trying to like be nice to their moms for the one time out of the year where they're actually paying attention to that sort of thing, I feel a little bit like the Canaries, where half the team has been thrown out.
I see where you're going.
And I hope we can bat 1,000 this week. You're listening to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. Yes, that is our voicemail number. But today, it is also our live call-in number. If you would like to talk to us live on the phone, I hope everything works. You can give us a call at 206-420-0997. I have almost a call screening application written. I feel pretty proud of that. I've been running crazy all week trying to get things running. Joining me today, as usual, is Becky. How are you, Becky?
Wonderful. Happy Mother's Day, Sam.
And also joining me, first time in a while and first time in the new digs, is Nick. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing great. Hey, Mom.
So last week we said that we received no Peggy's Challenge.
Yeah, people. no contributors to Peggy's Challenge. Peggy, you know, said, hey, if you like hearing this kind of viewpoint on the air, if you think it's important to be there, chip in. Because the truth is, this really is sustained by our listeners.
Well, you're talking like our listeners hadn't answered the call when, frankly, they did. Didn't they?
They definitely did. We had another Margaret. We had Margaret from Silver Springs who kindly wrote to us, really enjoy the show. Keep it up. Thank you so much, Margaret, for contributing. We also had Richard from Kent in the UK. So
yes,
we had a Peggy and we had someone from Kent, but not Peggy from Kent. But that's okay because Peggy is our stalwart contributor. We also had locally John Mark from Bellevue. And then we had a bunch of non-local contributors as well. We had Yusuf from Sweden. We had Donovan from Mobile, Alabama. And we had Runa from Denmark.
Fantastic. I know we've got one more in there that just came in today that we didn't mention. And we'll have to mention them next week. But that's sort of the nature of it. We're running around getting things done. And it's like, oh, wow, we got a contributor. Can't do it this episode. Got to do it next episode. We also have another announcement. This is a big one. As you guys might know, Ask an Atheist has now been on the air for a little over, approaching 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And our 200th episode is coming up. And 200 episodes and we still sound like this. What the heck?
I know. Seriously.
So we will be broadcasting live on May 25th from Northern Pacific Coffee Company in Parkland, Washington. Get there by 2:45 to grab a seat and a coffee or a pint. Show runs until from 3 to 4:30. And you get a chance to ask your own questions. It's going to be a different kind of show because it is going to basically be an on-air celebration as far as I'm concerned. This is a big deal for me.
There's a lot to celebrate with 200 episodes.
200 hours of us yammering at you.
And not to mention all the work that you've put into this show over the last few years.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you're listening to the show, if you're a longtime fan of the show, if you're a show alumni, I'd like to see you there. And my hope is that we can spend enough time, everybody can get up a chance to say a couple sentences or make a silly comment. I'd prefer the silly comment over the, yeah, you congratulations, you guys. You know, the party itself, your arrival at the party is your way of saying congratulations. You don't need to come up and shake my hand and say, you know, well, job well done. Because, well, you know, day to day, we do a good job. But there are also some episodes I'm not proud of. but the way to make the celebration a celebration to me is participation. And I'm really, this is big for me. I mean, this show has been a dream long held. I mean, I really wanted to return something to the atheism community once I became a part of it and they accepted me in the way that they did, which not a lot of other communities have. But radio is something I've always wanted to do ever since I was a little kid. Somewhere in the houses of either my house or my dad's house or whatever, there's a cassette tape of the Sam Mulvey Experience is what it was. It was what it was labeled, I believe, by my father. And it was me doing a radio show at 5 years old. And this is what I've wanted to do my whole life. And I'm 200 episodes in. I hope to go 2,000 episodes more with the Ask an Atheist folks. I have so much fun doing this. And unlike most of our live episodes, it will be broadcast live as well. Through the use of the sports machine, the way that we're doing live episodes here in my new studio is the same way we're going to be doing episodes, the 200th episode from NPCC.
The really cool thing also about Northern Pacific Coffee Company is that it's all ages. It's a coffee shop, and there's some really good, nice snacks there, and there's also local craft beer. So yeah, for those that want to enjoy some adult celebratory beverages, then that's there too.
I think I'll probably have a sandwich and a beer, or two, or three, or six.
I believe there might be some finger food there available as well to make things to make things nice and relaxed and stuff. Like, there's no cover. We'll gladly take tips, I suppose, but it's just show up and have a good time. This is a celebration, not necessarily a fundraiser. So,
and the majority of folks don't really have work or school the next day.
Right, because it's Memorial Day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that works out really nicely. So I know this is longer than we usually go with announcements, but...
But it's something special and something important.
It's something special and it's something important. And if you're in the Washington area, or you can make it to the Washington area, and you've always wanted to hang out with the Ask an Atheist crowd, now would be fun.
Let's pack the house.
Yeah. Okay. We have some news.
We do have some news.
I wanted to start on a high point.
Oh.
Because the rest of this episode, frankly, is some of our listeners don't like it when we focus on the negative news. And let me tell you something. Other than the NFL draft, there hasn't been a lot of good news this week.
Tell us about the NFL draft.
I'm unprepared to tell you about the NFL draft.
Okay.
the name is escaping me. I'm sure the call screener can tell me his name.
Is this Michael Sam?
This is Michael Sam. Yeah. I actually just by chance, I saw that video and it really hit me. It's like, I'm watching that and I'm thinking, this is history happening.
And what is it? Because I've been in a cave for the whole week. other kind of work.
It's drafted by the Rams.
Ah,
yeah,
so we did get drafted.
Seventh round by the St. Louis Rams, according to our call screener, who is not you, but they have your name.
and that is something
first,
really special.
First openly gay NFL player. And ESPN was like, you know, the play-by-play guys who like playing up controversy, because that's their job, was like, where is the controversy here? You know, it's like, people were saying this, but he's already been in playing football and there hasn't been any problem, but everybody wants to make people want to complain. And it was history, and they had a camera in his house or in somebody's house where he got the call, because, again, ESPN drama. And history happened, and it was good history, and it was loving history, and I am not one often brought to tears, as you know, but that kind of brought a tear to my eye.
So whether he ends up being a famous football player or not, the fact is you have someone that's openly gay, that's accepted for his craft, for his professionalism, and for his athletic
ability.
Which
is how you want it. You know, you want people, you want the best players. Da-da. Full stop. Anyway.
Love it.
Bad
You're
news.
Right. That is good news, Sam.
It melts my heartsicles.
Now for the anger. The Pledge of Allegiance does not discriminate against atheists and can be recited at the start of the day in public schools, Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled Friday. Justices said that although the pledge phrase "under God" has a religious tinge, it reflects fundamentally patriotic practice and not a religious one. The decision was in response to a 2010 lawsuit filed by the American Humanist Association on behalf of an unidentified atheist family. School District Superintendent Stephen Mills said officials were pleased with the ruling and noted that the recitation is always voluntary.
So, interesting thing about this is that this was actually based on the on the Massachusetts state constitution under the Equal Protection Clause.
Yeah.
So really the ruling only applies to Massachusetts, but there is a parallel suit right now that's pending in the state of New Jersey based on the same thing. So that's kind of tough news. If I don't know if New Jersey is going to look to Massachusetts for this kind of for their outcome as well, for that decision as well.
This is I'm not a big fan of the concept of oaths. I don't like oaths. I don't like oaths for several reasons. I don't like paying oaths to nationalism. Nationalism kind of gets a bad rap, and sometimes it's deserved. And the idea of starting every day with an oath to an entity that is not a people. You know, I wouldn't mind saying I'm going to be nice to everybody around me today. That's the kind of oath I would do. But the national anthem, or no, not the national anthem.
Pledge of Allegiance?
National anthem's fine, if difficult to sing. The Pledge of Allegiance is fine. It kind of weirds me out a bit. But I don't have the option to say the Pledge of Allegiance without lying.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I were that kind of guy, and there are a lot of atheists who are. Not everybody, very few people have my opinion in that direction. But we can't give the Pledge of Allegiance without lying. So what kind of pledge is it if we have to lie?
Or give a partial pledge.
Or a partial pledge in order to do it. What this does, this has the end result of saying that atheists are not the same kind of citizens.
We're not the same
people.
Patriots. We're not as American. We're not as good.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'm not a patriot. My patriotism goes towards a people, not a title. When I talk about America, I generally talk about its citizens.
I can say, you know, as a school teacher, I do emphasize the strictly voluntary, principle of participation in the Pledge of Allegiance. That's really long upheld.
Yeah.
And I say, you can sit, you can
stand.
That's
an opinion. I'm not saying it's bad. I have my own opinions on that sort of thing. But I think if we're going to have a pledge, it should cover, and it's supposed to be the pledge for all citizens of a country. Shouldn't it cover all citizens of a country?
Certainly. I would think so.
Have you ever, as a teacher, have you ever run into problems with that? Or?
Yeah, you know, so we say the pledge twice a week in the school that I'm in, and I don't recite the pledge. I remain quiet as my students can recite the pledge in our classroom as, you know, per their own volition. I did have a student that got really angry at his classmates for not saying the pledge and said that they were not patriotic. Mm. One girl said, well, I'm not going to say something that requires me to say under God. And another kid says, my dad's not a citizen. The country doesn't like him. So I'm not going to swear allegiance to something that puts my dad in a detention center.
And that's,
lots of different
there's
opinions.
Lots of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, since this is Ask an Atheist, I mean, we're talking about a pledge. It's a pledge that we cannot. It's a pledge is the idea that you say something, you believe this wholeheartedly, you're putting your word behind it.
It's not something that unites people universally within a classroom or within
no
anything.
This pledge has the opposite effect of what it's supposed to do.
And drawing a parallel for me, I spent a lot of my childhood years going to a Department of Defense dependent school overseas, with military people who you think that would be the most quote-unquote patriotic of all American citizens. We didn't recite the pledge every day, and I didn't really think about the kind of, I guess, creepy marching in unison kind of
thing
about it until I moved back here and we did it every day and I was spurned by my peers for not saying it.
Well, here's the thing about a pledge is words. I'm not a words guy. I don't when people says I'm gonna do something for you, I go, okay, but that's tentative. To me, it's actions. And to me, if you act in goodwill to your fellow citizens and you work towards bettering the nation you're a member of, that to me, that's greater than any pledge. Just flat out. And that's really the core of my problem.
I would agree. And I think that in and of itself, service to each other, that's something that's far more uniting than something said for 15 seconds at the beginning of every school
but
day
it's hard
or an assembly.
But it's hard to do.
But it's really, really easy to say the 15-second pledge and absolve yourself of all responsibility, isn't it? Make yourself feel good, kind of like putting the yellow ribbon on the back of your car.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And
There actually is something that happened that was a parallel to this. It was seemed very, very, very prescient. And this was actually reported on Friendly Atheist blog by Hemant Mehta. There was actually in Texas, a Houston area teenager received a 2-day school suspension for not standing during the Pledge of Allegiance during a class.
Wow.
His name is Mason Michalik, and he said that he refused to stand because he was protesting some governmental policies, not because of the under God part.
Right.
But he received a 2-day suspension, and he said his principal warned him that he would face more suspensions if his protest continued. The principal and the superintendent of that particular school, that was
don't need to hear the word needle again.
Needleville
High School. Okay. They didn't have any comment, but there we go. We see that that despite in one state saying, hey, it's voluntary and that's why we can uphold it, we see that it's not voluntary everywhere.
And what's the point if you can't? If it contains a lie for you, I mean, it's not. It's just you. It becomes a prayer.
And it's
provocative.
It's not just in the Houston area that this is happening. I went to high school in Steilacoom, Washington, which is Western Washington, very progressive area.
Yeah,
and I had been given detention for not standing for the pledge.
Nick Kennedy had been given detention in high school for not standing during the pledge.
Yes.
Well, I would say, yes, the pledge is certainly voluntary at that point. You can volunteer to sit in your detention classroom, or you can volunteer to stand up and lie.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Well, you're going up and you're making a bunch of mouth noises that you're not really thinking about what you're saying. You're not really considering the interest of, you know, what the words actually mean and what you're actually committing to, or what people are committing to you, or what you're asking for. But you're imagining that just by saying this, you are given some sort of weird attribute. You are given, you know, in the case of the Lord's Prayer, you're being blessed by God. In the case of the Pledge of Allegiance, where you're not paying attention to what you're saying, you're expecting to automatically become patriotic by saying it. Now, this is riding a line we generally don't ride on Ask an Atheist, because we try to stay away from political topics like this, but now when you put God in it, it is a prayer. When you say one nation under God, this takes this pledge, gives it a mystical quality, and says things about God. Now you are asking atheists to pray.
Oh, but there, Sam, is it's no, only a religious
there's
tinge.
No yeah, religious whatever.
You can pray to Zardoz.
No, I can't, because I don't believe that either. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. Give us a call. I'm going to go into a break. When we come back, I'm probably going to yell some more.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview, informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing. But that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communication succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And I can tell you after today's episode, I'm going to need to relax a little bit. And if you'd like to relax with me and with Nick and with some others, with our call screener and our studio engineer and et cetera, you can go to the Harmon Tap Room at 5 p.m.
I might be a late arrival because I am going to go spend a little bit of time with my mother today because it is Mother's Day and I love my mom.
Oh, well, yeah, you should do that. And Mother's Day is a good holiday. Now for the anger. Town meetings can start with prayers, says the Supreme Court. You guys, if you're a regular listener to Ask an Atheist, you know, the under God thing bothers me a little. Or actually, the God on the money thing doesn't really bother me that much. I think it's something worth fighting for. It's not my chosen battle. Under God on the Pledge of Allegiance, a little closer to my sort of way of thinking. Beginning every legislative session across the land with a religious invocation. Now we're in my wheelhouse. The U.S. Supreme Court has held that a city council in upstate New York is not violating the Constitution when it opens its meetings with a prayer, ruling the invocations permissible ceremonial purposes and not as an unconstitutional establishment of religion. The opening prayers may not be used to praise the virtues of one faith and may not cast other faiths or other believers in a sharply negative light. The test of whether citizens were coerced into religious practice was satisfied if a town's governing body ordered the public to join in prayer, criticized dissidents who did not share the prayer's beliefs, or indicated that official action would be influenced by whether someone participated or refrained from the prayer exercise. What? Okay. Just pretend for the next 15 seconds I did nothing but utter expletives. I mean, I might reference Spider Jerusalem when the Beast was elected. Hey, I have a comic book reference!
So, Sam, how do you feel about this?
This is absolute crap. This is
not fit for air.
This is not fit for
reaction.
Air.
Yeah.
Everything that they say doesn't happen, there should not happen in an invocation to a legislature, does happen. It happens all the time, all over the place. It happens here in Pierce County. It happens everywhere. And as far as I understood, when the Supreme Court was understanding case law, they're supposed to look at how these things are actually done. They're not supposed to put things on a lab and dissect it and go, here in laboratory conditions, it's perfect and everything is fine. They're supposed to look at it how as it exists and as it's being done in the populace. This is why segregation was ruled illegal. This is why we have Brown versus Board of Education. This is why we have the educational thing, all those educational bills that we talk about when we talk about separation of church and state, when we talk about intelligent design. It's because the Supreme Court was looking at how these situations existed in situ, in the situation, not just in the lab going, under perfect conditions, this is how it's supposed to go. This Supreme Court is apparently a pile of idiots.
Well, you know, it was a 5-4 decision. The four dissenting opinions were quite strong and pretty much in line with what you were saying. The one thing that we can hope for is that it, you know, Plessy versus Ferguson was around 1896, 1898, that said segregation is all right if it's separate and equal. Yeah. You know, it took until 1954 Brown versus Board of Education to say, no, actually, the way that happened happens in real life isn't the case. Let's only hope that it can take a little less than 58 years for our Supreme Court to say, no, actually, every time you say, in Jesus's name we pray, and yeah, let us all say amen, it'll take less than that to say that, no, actually, that is coercive, within the context of how
about
it's done.
How about the time when... I'm sorry. As you can tell, I'm kind of angry. How about the time when some Hindu folks did an invocation at the courthouse in like the early 2000s?
I think this is in legislative session.
In legislative session. And then some people who work for the legislators go up into the peanut gallery, and as they're trying to do their thing, they go, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Like Catholicotron 7000s. This is... How is this not coercive?
Yeah.
How is this? I am a undegreed yutz from Palatine, Illinois. How the heck do I know how this country is put together and what the purposes of the First Amendment are better than somebody who is a Supreme Court justice?
Better than five somebodies.
Better than five somebodies. Today, I don't feel a lot of sympathy for the four who work with them. They'd be louder. Do something. Seriously, this is what the country is about. This is why we formed it. Not we. I wasn't involved. But I mean, this is why, going back to that whole patriotism thing, this is where my patriotism comes out. You know, the only thing we have is our identity, is participation in this democracy as a group of people.
And there's one thing that you can do. Anyone who is, anyone who is as fervent about this as Sam... Go out there and do something. Make yourself heard. Go to legislative sessions, or like a friend of the show, Robert Ray.
Yeah.
Go do a humanist invocation.
I have a sneaking suspicion I'm going to be working very closely with Robert Ray on that one in the coming year.
I would think so. You know, one of the things that really I look closely at is, you know, an opening invocation or an opening prayer can't cast other faiths or other believers in a sharply negative light. So we can cast you in a passive aggressive denigratory light. I mean, as long as we don't say, oh, we actually think that you're heathens who are going to hell.
Yeah.
But we can offer a prayer from a hymnal that is used by fundamentalist Christians that do believe that by praying to Jesus, you are praying to the person who is going to, talk to his dad and send all of the non-believers to hell. Mm. I don't understand this sharply negative light. We can just be generally passive aggressive.
We can go up and down the history of the United States and its formation. We can talk about the letter to the Danbury Baptists. We can talk about the Treaty of Tripoli. These are all things that atheists and free thinkers in the United States have to reference to point out to people of low intelligence who might not understand otherwise that, no, this is not a Christian nation. This is not a religious nation. This is an explicitly secular nation. That is how it was founded. And that this is not supposition on my part. This is documented fact. You know, if these people didn't exist and it was an invention, still, the documents that we live by make this clear.
But David Barton told me.
David Barton, historical revisionist.
I did refer to people of limited intelligence, did I not? Yeah.
Touche.
I'm coming after you, David Barton.
Thank you. We have a quote from a wrestler.
He is kind of an easy target, though.
Oh, yeah. He's totally low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing that's worrying, though. In this case, the Supreme Court's not talking about whether the government is endorsing religion, but rather coercing people to participate religiously.
And if that's the
goalpost that's been moved, that is really scary for people of minority religions and of no faith whatsoever.
Having been in... Not just for the purposes of the free thought community, but having been in legislative sessions at the state and local level, the fact of the matter is, it is coercive. You feel coerced when everybody around you is praying and you're not.
When you have social pressure to be standing, to be praying,
yeah.
I don't understand why sociologically, psychologically, we don't understand that it's coercive.
If it's not coercive, if the going gets tough, the tough get passive aggressive.
Uh-huh.
So I have some ideas here. Stare at people.
Oh.
Eyes open, unblinking the entire time.
No heads bowed.
Just stare at the person who demands it. Just stare directly at them. Or scream real loud. And if people complain, say, this is how I pray.
Oh, interesting.
Use disruptive forms of prayer. I mean, this is where we are now, because the Supreme Court has suddenly forgotten what freaking country they're in. We're kind of at passive aggressive stuff. I'm kind of mad, and I'm probably in the coming weeks come up with something a little bit more logical. But right now, that's what's coming to mind because I like to play tricks sometimes.
And taking the mick out of this can actually it might actually be effective.
It might work. Hmm. Yeah.
I wonder at the idea of disruptive prayer, whether that can you can be punished for that under other clauses and things like that, like disturbing the peace or disturbing, you know.
Well, apparently that would be unconstitutional, though.
What would be unconstitutional?
If you're charging people when people pray and they pray in disruptive ways, when you're being asked to pray and you're being arrested or censured for doing so.
You'd be violating their religious freedom.
Yeah, you're violating their religious freedom. Back in toto.
Interesting.
So, I mean, there are other ways of doing this. For example, Chaz Stevens of Deerfield Beach, Florida, has requested the honor of opening his city council meetings with a Satanist prayer. Stevens told local media that he had just recently converted to Satanism, indicating that the first time in his life he had committed to any god. His conversion and request were motivated by the recent SCOTUS case where non-coercive prayers were deemed constitutional. Stevens is known for having erected a beer can-adorned Festivus pole in the state capitol during the 2013 holiday season.
Nick, I would like you
to... A man after my own heart.
Yes, he definitely is. And I would love to hear Nick read what Mr. Stevens proposes to say in this opening invocation.
Let me prepare. Oh, mighty Lord Satan, teach us to become strong and wise. Teach us to vanquish the enemies of our freedom and well-being.
You know, I think that's remarkably inclusive. I think that it doesn't denigrate anyone of another faith. It doesn't praise the virtues of this faith over another.
I got to admit, I don't know.
It doesn't cast other believers in a sharply negative light. No, I think this passes all the SCOTUS tests possible.
I'm starting to shift. I don't really care if people think I'm a Satanist anymore. I really don't. Because how is calling me a Satanist anymore? Well, I mean, I'm going to argue against it when it comes up.
Uh-huh.
But let me ask you guys this, and I'd like your take on it. How is calling me believer in Satan any different than any of the 55 other wrong things they say about me when they want to talk about atheists?
Oh, like you hate God. Yeah. God, something bad happened in your life to force you to not believe in God. And good question. Not so sure, Sam.
I feel sorry for people who say that about me, and that has been said about me. But
I used to feel sorry for
because,
and then laws like this get passed, and suddenly my sorrow goes away.
Yeah, but then again, it's like they obviously do not understand,
right?
And of course, I can beat my head about it and say no, this is the reason why, and go and talk ad nauseum, but they're still not going to listen.
Yeah,
and so I think maybe this might actually get their attention.
Maybe.
A Satanist invocation. Because it's something that will be, just by its very nature of existing, offensive to them.
There is a part of me that is eternally 14 years old. I mean, it comes out quite frequently on the show. But this is the point where it becomes most clear. I kind of want to join this guy in Florida. I mean, I kind of want to hang out with Chaz Stevens and say, okay, yeah, you've called me a Satanist. You're right. I'm a Satanist. Now I'm going to rub your face in it. Now I'm going to make it very difficult for you to tell me how terrible I am, because now it's religion versus religion.
So now can we call you an acolyte?
No, okay. There's sort of an electric Kool-Aid experiment thing going on with this. I don't believe in Satan. I'll never believe in Satan. I honestly think that the whole Satanist thing, especially the Anton LaVey stuff, is kooky. It's not evil. It's not funny. It is funny. It's funny to me.
I think you've referred to it as
dinner theater Satanism.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't believe in God. They don't think that Satan actually exists, but they do believe in weird, kooky, spiritual stuff that's a lot like
it's slightly new agey, except with a lot more black and red.
If I may dip into my new age knowledge, it's very thelemic in nature. It looks a lot like that. It looks a lot like the OTO, and they would yell and scream if I said that to their faces. But the idea there is that, you know, spiritual power is basically modulated willpower. And
you're never going to buy into that.
I have never bought in. Even back when I believed, that was always the harshest pill for me to swallow.
Of course, I know that if I did something like that, of course I'd be paying lip service. But Then again, I would also be making fun of people I don't really care for.
It would be hilarious.
Yes, it is. It's kind of like going to a karaoke bar and ironically singing a Phil Collins song when you
but
really hate him.
You do not sing Phil Collins songs ironically.
He would sing it ironically in this case.
I have done.
What?
You were there.
You like Phil Collins.
No, I don't.
He sings Phil Collins unironically is your accusation here. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. Not that he doesn't sing Phil Collins songs. All right, yeah. Dirty little secret. We all go sing karaoke once in a while. I have to
no,
be.
No, I will cop to unironically I will cop to honestly loving the Gin Blossoms, but not Phil Collins.
I have to be somewhat modified to go, but
So here's the bottom line. It may be ceremonial and traditional to have a prayer in some places, but the fact is that Greece, the actual Greece, New York, the state or the city where this came up, they didn't used to have invocations. They had a moment of silence, or you could pray beforehand on your own time.
Well, let's
and then they introduced explicitly Christian prayer, and we're seeing all around the country people, you know, emboldened by this.
Ceremonial isn't good
to say that you can we should now do Christian prayers even when they didn't have them to begin with.
I'll go you one further. Ceremonial isn't good. There are cultures fortunately where human sacrifice for certain important things was ceremonial.
I think that would denigrate people of one particular faith and praise of virtues of another. I don't know.
Possibly. But that
would be a sharply negative
light. But there was a reason why in the Roman Republic, when they started taking all the places over, one of the very few rules they had for, well, not few, depending on how you look at it, was no human sacrifice. That was basically their only religious law. Don't kill people in the name of your religion. That's silly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Roman response was enslave them instead. It's much more economically feasible, but...
but we'll just put that aside.
Baby steps, humanity. Baby steps. Ah, boy. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. When we come back from the break, we'll have some good news. A little bit of good news. And then, yeah.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist Conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back.
Nice relaxing music to bring us back into it.
Yeah. Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. A correction. We're not going to Doyle's. We're going to the Harmon Tap Room this week, sadly. Well, not sadly. I like it there, too. But
yeah, that's right next to Doyle's.
We don't go to Doyle's as much as I would like sometimes. But that's just...
I like them. They're good people at Doyle's.
Well, they serve... They're really good to the atheism community.
They
here,
are.
Out here in Tacoma.
Really good to lots of different...
Really good to lots of... But there are a lot of bars out there that are good to a lot of communities. And then when it comes to the atheism community, they start...
Sorry, can't touch you.
Yeah, sorry. And Doyle's, I can tell you for certain that the people there do not agree with a lot of what we agree with, but they believe we have a right to congregate.
They bailed us out after, like, with a week's notice.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't English today.
Yeah. Don't do that. Anyway, we have some good news. A Pulaski County, Arkansas circuit judge has thrown out the state's ban on recognizing same-sex marriages. The state argued that it had the right to enforce a ban that protected children, preserved tradition, and favored the ability to procreate. Judge Christopher Piazza disagreed, writing, "Same-sex couples are a morally disliked minority, and the constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriages is driven by animus rather than a rational basis."
Yes.
He also cited the anti-miscegenation, or how do you even pronounce it?
Miscegenation.
Okay. It's
anti-miscegenation.
Case of Loving versus Virginia, which I do know about. I choose to not learn how to pronounce that word, and emphasize that the exclusion of a minority for no rational reason is a dangerous precedent.
You know, a lot of these things are being overturned state by state, little by little. And here's the first one of a judge that on two places in his ruling says, hey, this is irrational. We're not going to make laws that are irrational. And that's huge. That's huge. It's not just that we like people. It's not just that this is unfair. It's that this law serves no purpose that's rational.
So that means that I can't propose legislation to ban bowling with a pink ball on Tuesday nights?
Nope, not rational. No vested state interest in that.
Has no practical purpose.
Honestly, if I thought laws needed to have rationality, I'd challenge most of them.
I see. Okay.
But here's the interesting thing here, is that everybody's going to say, or not everybody, of course, but everybody who likes the idea of fighting against civil rights is going to say that because this guy mentions rationality, therefore he has a religious agenda that he's pushing on other people. Totally ignoring the fact, and like in the last segment, all that time we were talking about how a religious agenda is actually being pushed on people all the time. It's just your religious agenda, so you don't care. But rationality. We are not the lone defenders of rationality. We are not. Atheists and agnostics and freethinkers are not the only people who believe in rational thought.
No, certainly not. And there's a lot of religious activists that all also say, hey, you know what, this isn't rational, even within the purviews of their religious traditions.
Yeah.
You have the head of the Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and that's by Reverend Barry Lynn. Reverend.
Yeah, it's something that you say a lot, Sam. A lot of the times people are a lot more moral than their religious texts.
Well, it's the basis upon which we have a dialogue with religious people. And this is not something a lot of atheists will... This is something a lot of atheists might not agree upon, but this is how I think it works. Is that when we get down to these debates, like the debates that Christopher Hitchens had about whether or not God exists, and the debates that several other people carry on with... The atheism side, the no God side, is appealing to shared rationality. The shared rationality of both parties. We walk into the room with a belief and a respect that we both believe in the concept of rationality based upon the preponderance of evidence.
So when you say to a religious believer, hey, there's this something, there's this little thing that contradicts what you purport to believe, doesn't that sort of, you know, give you a little bit of pause?
We're challenging their beliefs versus their rationality. It's we're not saying you should meet our standards of rationality. We're saying that we should meet this shared standard of rationality, and some of your religious beliefs are irrational. Which on their own, we probably would be okay with that until there's harm. And unfortunately, irrational beliefs, especially when it comes to religion, more often than not directly lead to harm, like we've been describing today. These irrational beliefs about what God says about marriage or does not say about marriage by their horrible interpretations of their religious document has led to the limitation on civil rights of 10% of something like that of the American population. Just to make sure that you feel more comfortable with going to church on Sunday? That's not rational.
Nope, certainly isn't. And it's not rational in the face of evidence to say that a prayer before a legislative session or a city council meeting unites people when clearly it doesn't. You had four dissenting Supreme Court justices that says this specifically divides citizens.
Yeah. It's again, four.
True.
There's a lot that's broken here, and it challenges my respect for things every now and again. I'm not saying that every religious person is rational. There are irrational religious people out there. And hey, you know what? There are irrational atheists out there.
Certainly. And you can be very rational and very logical about certain things and then just have one thing that you say, you know, you can't get past and your mind plays tricks and your mind goes to cognitive biases.
And the thing is, if you're not a rational person, it's really difficult to argue you. So a lot of people tend to just draw circles around that and walk around and talk to the people where we have the shared basis in rationality. My whole point here is that the basis, the whole reason we are engaging the population of the United States, the religious population of the United States. The whole reason that the atheist community since 2001 has become as big and as vocal as we have become is because we want to have a rational dialogue. And a rational dialogue cannot really be had unless there is a shared respect. And here we are, 13 years of the do atheist, which is a horrible term, but whatever. And we're still fighting for that shared respect over rationality.
I think we're fighting for it in some areas, but I would not be surprised. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Judge Christopher Piazza was himself a religious believer. He's more likely to be than not, just because most people are.
But you can't cherry pick just the people who are following along. Clearly, we have one guy in Arkansas who's a federal judge on our side. And we have the judges who apparently have decided, as our call screener had suggested, that the New Yorker headline, in landmark decision, Supreme Court strikes down main reason country was started.
Yes.
our call screener is Dave, who's been on the show. Great. You know, thank you, Dave. The thing is, we have to look at how society is treating us. And frankly, how society is treating us, we are still trying to establish some level of shared respect and rationality to have a debate. It's not happening. It's been 13 years. And
13 years is a drop in the bucket of a sea of water.
I get that.
Yep.
But it is, I have to admit, it is 13 years in this new information-rich environment that we live in.
That's very true.
Where, I mean, one of those years might as well count for five as far as the force of history goes.
But if you're talking about, like, trying to convince people to give you an equal footing, that's going to be a bit tough because we've spent so long being so universally spurned by not even just hardcore religious people, but people who might even self-identify as agnostic because they don't understand the actual definition of atheism.
I'm not asking for pity here. There are populations of people in America who have had it way worse than I have, or the atheist community
has.
And that's sort of my point. Is why is it when we have had these huge, when we've had civil wars and social revolutions and the face of this country looks so different than it did in the 18th century, why is it so difficult to just have a level playing field for a respectful discussion, which is mostly what we're asking for? It seems such a weird thing that this even has to be a fight to me. This is where I have my huge thing alienation moment where I will sit down and I will try to have a respectful conversation with people I vehemently disagree with, or people who I think they have ideas that are virulent and diseased and harmful. But I want to understand how they work. And if I find something that I think is destructive in a way to sort of lessen the destruction, I can't just say, you're wrong, blah, 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 blah. I have to engage them in a respectful debate. And I try that. Why is that so difficult?
I can't imagine that it is frustrating. I think that it's not just frustrating for those that live in the U.S., but so far...
Yeah, but we're talking about U.S. laws today.
Yeah, it is. But the political rhetoric is really... the religious rhetoric. I said political because sometimes it seems so intertwined.
They are entwined. Let's
at this
not
point.
Lie.
When it's in the platforms of entire political parties, then right. Certainly... But the religious rhetoric has become so polarized, where you have people shouting from the what they think is a pulpit, but is really just a school board meeting,
yeah.
And saying we didn't use to pray before, but now we should do it because it unites people. I don't understand how that is observed to be.
But the thing is, there's an unspecified clause there. It unites people, comma, that I agree with.
Yeah, it unites people
These people who say that praying unites people are under no illusions that it unites everybody. They really know better. They just don't care. And this is not something I would have said at the beginning of Ask an Atheist, but how many of these news stories have we done now? You know, how many hundreds of news stories have we talked? We do 5 or 6 news stories an episode. We've been doing 200 episodes. How many news stories where it's just really clear that the people fighting for religious privilege and fighting for religious ascendancy and dominionism do not care about the people who disagree with them? They don't consider them people most of the time.
I did read a story recently about one of the NBA coaches that when he came to coach the team, usually they had a team prayer before they started practice and before they went to games. And he noticed that one of his players, who was a Muslim, would stand with his arms crossed and not participate.
Yeah.
And so he came in the coach came in about 2 weeks later and said, okay, guys, not praying here, not today. If we want to do a pre-game prayer, we can do that at chapel. We can go across campus and
That'd be Doc Rivers, current coach of the Clippers.
Yeah.
We have a sports fan as our call screener.
We do. And the story that he told was that his one Muslim player, after that particular event, came up to him crying and hugged him and say, you have no idea how alienating that was and how that made me feel. I never felt that I could be a part of the team.
But again, these are isolated incidents.
They are isolated incidents.
When the social thrust is, we don't care about you. Now, those isolated incidents can create a narrative which can be convincing. They can build. And I think our job is to unite those narratives and to bring them to people's attention so that there is a group of people who can be swayed. I'm not saying that, this is not the lines are drawn, the battle is going to begin, release the hounds and the missiles. No, it's nothing like this is a conversation. That needs to be a conversation. And we need to go rationality, but we also need to show the social impact. And the Doc Rivers story gives you a really clear indication of the social impact of what happens when you think this prayer is uniting people. Prayer does not unite. Does not unite all peoples. Prayer only unites the peoples who pray those prayers or who believe those prayers. And any religion in America, you're not going to get all people with your prayer, no matter what. When we go do humanist convocations, we try to be general, but we know there's going to be a population of people out there who think just because we're humanists and we're standing that where we're standing, we represent the forces of darkness. We are definitely not uniting with those people. We get that. And that's something I'd like to change.
I definitely think so. You know, when you had a humanist invocation offered in Arizona, you had people the following day saying we need to redo the horrors of yesterday where we didn't actually have a real prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, you have these things. They just, even the Satanist prayer, the Satanist prayer that Chaz Stevens in Florida thinks that he might give, that Nick so eloquently delivered. That in and of itself could be offered by any number of preachers or imams or rabbis.
You'd have to file the Satan off of it in order to get it.
Well, no, it doesn't say Satan. It doesn't praise one particular thing. It said vanquish the enemies and do this. It's inclusive language. Oh, it does say Almighty Lord Satan.
Told you.
Okay. Well,
Satan. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If even if you get rid of Almighty Lord Satan, okay, if you don't name the deity to whom you are requesting prayer, you are requesting assistance. If you were just to say, teach us to become strong and wise, teach us to vanquish the enemies of our freedom and well-being, right? Any number of religious figures or lay people could say that, but by virtue of the fact that the person offering it identifies as a Satanist, causes people to be divided. It causes people to be divided. We see this when people in schools where we have students of multiple faiths or multiple language backgrounds want to offer the Pledge of Allegiance, again, the Pledge of Allegiance in their own languages, and you have some of the Arabic students offering the Pledge of Allegiance in Arabic, and all of a sudden it says, under Allah, and people freak out.
Yeah. This is, you're getting this raw from me. I, because of technical issues here, I didn't get a chance to look at the notes today. And I was familiar with the stories going on, but I hadn't really looked into the details. I'm enraged. Just flat out enraged. And I'm
seeing them all lined up like this together really puts it in perspective.
And that's not a rage I try to bring to the show. I do try to be positive, but when being told that I don't get what I don't get the same things that other citizens get, when it's something this small and this kind of dumb, I what I may be saying next week is going to look very different than what I said today. But I'll be honest with you, that anger that I have, it does stay with me for a while. A couple other things before we go. Becky even put a post on the Facebook wall of Ask an Atheist about voicemails and saying we haven't been getting any. We have, actually.
we have a mea culpa.
Something bad happened to my phone server, and that's part of the reason I'm kind of so out of it today. We've been getting voicemails the whole time, and wondering, and we've been wondering why we haven't seen them. We do testing. I get mine. I never get anybody else's. It's very strange, but we're going to be doing something about those voicemails very soon. Anyway, that's unfortunately all the time we have for today. My name is Sam. Thank you very much, Nick.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Becky.
No problem.
Thanks, Sharon, at the station. Thank you, Dave, for being our first call speaker in the new studio. Ask an Atheist. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. We're going to go off to the Harmon. I'm going to relax a little bit. Maybe, I don't know. See you guys next week. Little bit of an extra thing at the end of this podcast, not a full half hour, but there was a lot of bad news this week, but there is possibly a silver lining here or something we can do. I do like to have an occasional call to action when bad things like this happen.
American Humanist Association definitely has that call to action going on.
A lot of people are, but I feel like we need to provide it as well as, you know, but
get the word out.
This week, that call to action doesn't come from us. It comes from somebody else. And so here we go.
Hey everybody, this is David Williamson in the Central Florida Free Thought community down in Orlando. Wanted to provide some information about a program that we're working on. As with American Humanists and Freedom From Religion Foundation and many other groups after the Grease v. Galloway decision, we're pushing towards trying to get inclusion in religious invocations with humanist celebrants or free thought leaders or just lay people in the movement that can and will speak in front of these boards. So the first step is finding all the religious invocations in the area. And the second step is drafting an email that requests inclusion in those events as someone who can provide the invocation. And then finally, keep good records of the communications, including registered mail for the letters being sent, documenting all communications. And if there's no response or if the response is in the negative, then you can get a church state watchdog like Freedom From Religion Foundation, American Humanist Society, or American Humanist Association's Legal Center, ACLU, Americans United to follow up. So there is some lemonade to be made out of the lemons this week. Again, it's David Williamson at Central Florida Free Thought Community. Thanks.
I dig it.
No, there. I think that's a very strong call to action right there.
Yeah, and I love what he says about keep good records of what you're doing, because it's incredibly important that, you know, if they say that this is if the court says that this is something that we can do, then we have to take part. And if we are closed out, then that's proof that the Supreme Court was wrong.
Yeah.
And so you need that record so you can go take to a lawyer and, you know, eventually bring this back to court.
Also to be able to publicize and say, hey, this is what we're doing, and here's another one, you know, offered in this corner of the country, in this corner of the country. Right now, the Humanist Institute, which is a branch of the American Humanist Association, actually has that webpage telling you how to. And right now, prominently featured is Robert Ray's example. Robert Ray from Humanists in North Puget Sound.
Fantastic. I guess my question for you guys is, the people best served by this ruling are people in the religious majority. Absolutely. The people best served of that group of people are the Dominionists, who want to see America as a Christian nation and to imprison people who believe otherwise.
These are the Roy Moores.
Do you think it's a good idea to not just get humanist celebrants involved, but actually be inclusive of all minority belief groups and to work together. This is not something a lot of people are going to be very comfortable with, but I really think when you start dealing with a court decision like this, you can't just work in, you have to work in service of the, you know, making the law equal for everybody, not just your particular group.
Well, yeah, and this is a question that I was going to ask myself. I've seen sort of two philosophies of how to deal with this. There is the high road of, okay, they don't know how to do an inclusive invocation, so let's teach them. Let's show them exactly what this is supposed to look like. Or there's a low road where, okay, if the law says you can be partisan, let's be partisan. Let's go in there and say, since we know there is no God, we expect you as a legislature to start, you know, legislating by reason and by intelligence, because we can't count on God to save us.
Right.
You know, which road do you want to take?
Well, I think earlier in the hour, Sam definitely was advocating a little bit for what you call the low road. But interestingly enough, Sam, David Silverman, president of American Atheists, has advocated this point. He said, yeah, you know what? Atheists need to start getting in bed with Scientologists and Satanists to start promoting that people of all different religious persuasions.
I actually think high road, low road might be a false dichotomy.
Okay.
And I may test that. Here's the thing, is I think it's necessary to be both inclusive and both partisan, because they both show two different things. The fully inclusive version is, this is us working together. This shows us what we want. This is the kind of society that we would like to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. So I'm hoping to work with, and after this court decision, I don't see how I can avoid working on this particular thing, you know, specifically. My plan is to work with other minority religious groups, and to go as a group and say, you need to include all of us, or this is religious discrimination. The other thing I would like to do is break the law.
How, Sam?
I'm going to do what I'm. This is a thought experiment, but do an invocation and break all of those rules, and when I'm challenged on it, provide evidence for those rules being broken by Christianity. Because this is, again, this is majority. The only people served by this ruling is the majority. And the people most served by it are the people who would see the majority dominate other groups. And then watch what happens when I get thrown in jail for doing something that Christian people do every day.
Interesting thought experiment.
That is the nature of protest. That is what protesting is. This is how Larry Flint did what he did. Sometimes in order to make a law go away, you got to break it.
Yeah.
Interesting how we would accomplish the prayer, the participation or non-participation of the prayer influencing the decision-making process of the council itself.
Yeah.
Since that is one of the tests for whether religious coercion has occurred.
And that's something that can be done statistically.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. Could say, hey, every time there was a Christian invocation, how many laws, you know, how many acts, how many things were agreed upon during that particular session?
Well, and when you look at the actual case of Greece versus
Holloway,
that over, what, 5 years, 6 years, there was, what, one non-Christian invocation. They don't care about the statistics.
Exactly. Well, they don't care about statistics, but lawmakers might have to.
Yeah.
I mean, that those statistics are going to be necessary, I guess is what I'm saying, is if we're going to build. The worst thing about protesting and stuff like this is you do a lot of work that in the end people might not actually care about. You basically gotta try everything. Try every, and gathering those statistics, I think, might be key.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that goes back to what our caller was, or voicemail said, is keep your records. Make sure you know exactly what steps you've taken and you have a record of it.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
I didn't mean to lay the whole false dichotomy thing at your feet. That's a dichotomy that we've all been making. And
And I think you're right on that. I think it's unfair for me to separate one as put a value of one as being better than the other. They are just different paths.
Like early days before I really met the Atheism Visibility community, I had a lot of problems with the FFRF. You know, I didn't really like the way they do things. But then, you know, I thought it was really negative, like them leaving that sign. And, I got to admit, having needed to clean up that sign down in Olympia.
We're talking about the rotunda, the solstice sign, saying religion hardens people's hearts. Yeah. And then having the local atheist community having to deal with the fallout of
that. It would have been nice if the FFRF had stuck around and worked with us on that one. They didn't. They basically left a dog turd on our lawn and left. And I didn't appreciate that. But I learned to appreciate the FFRF because it is necessary. We need the FFRF and the AHA and the CFI. We need all of these approaches because changing perspectives is a...
It's a multifaceted, multi-tiered
thing. It's a stone soup approach.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs all of these things. And but this, I think, the most key is going to be showing people what we want the world to look like. And I think this voicemail goes a real long way towards making that happen. Let's document it and let's show it to people. I think I might be making a commercial out of this voicemail.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, for our listeners, you should know that David is one who worked tirelessly in some of the high schools in Central Florida that were being used as distribution centers for Bibles by some of the InterVarsity Christian organizations, and then say, hey, you know what, if you're going to deem that legal and acceptable, then you have to have all viewpoints for passive distribution of literature, and enabled 5 different high schools to be able to distribute FFRF pamphlets and tracts and books, and they got books donated, and then the students themselves took that on, and it was really an amazing project. So there's a lot of if you can't beat them, join them,
right?
But join them in the good things to show people.
I don't
pluralistic.
Like that phrase. Hate that phrase.
Well,
I didn't used to. I used to use it, but now at this late date, having done what we've done.
If you're going to let me put it this way, then if a society is going to have to listen and have the intrusion of religion in all these different sectors of our life, let's show what pluralism.
That's
looks
true.
Like.
But the other thing is that underscores my ultimate point, which is I don't want to open up legislative people. I don't pay them to pray. I don't pay them to have a moment of science a moment of silence. We pay them to do their jobs. Right. And that's mostly what I would like to see, I suppose. I mean, that might be bitter and negative, but hey.
So can I bring up a question going back to
the
different approaches? You were talked about on the show, Chaz Stevens, the newly minted Satanist in Florida who's going to give the invocation.
Yeah, now, I wonder at that.
What do we do about people whose actions we agree with, but the people themselves are kind of abrasive and unlikable? Because if you've read about Chaz Stevens, he's a guy who was filmed going off about a nativity scene, dropping so many swear words and just being disgusting.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
his Festivus pole in the rotunda, you know, in the Capitol building in Florida, not only was it installed, but it was installed with much vitriol.
Yeah, and it's like, I love the idea of making sure there's a Festivus pole, but the way he did it, and he just fed so much fuel to the fire to point at, or for people to point it out to say, see how hateful these people are.
I think there's a line that can be crossed. I don't know what sign of that line that Chaz Stevens might be on. As far as that goes.
Is it the card line?
No, it's a different... apparently I'm becoming known for drawing lines, but... Here's the thing. We did the thing in the rotunda. The FFRF did the sign in the rotunda that was religion hardens hearts. You're a jerk for being religious. Happy holidays.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of heat. The next year, Seattle Atheists, when we were on the board of Seattle Atheists, did a sign. And the sign was basically, the idea I had going into it was happy holidays from Seattle Atheists, full stop. We ended up with something a lot more poetic, but basically said the same thing. Didn't mention religion, didn't, it was just, we should all, let's all get together and have a good time over the holiday season. Love Seattle Atheists. Same heat.
Yeah.
We didn't get the enormous, the
media coverage.
We didn't get the media coverage because we didn't get the Westboro Baptist Church that year. there are benefits to a negative example, and maybe Chaz Stevens, he feels the best thing for him to be doing is providing that negative example. Mm-hmm. He could go too far. I have not seen the video. If it just becomes negative and abusive and horrible, then so horrible. But the thing is, you need to show the negative example and say, this is what it looks like to us. And you need the positive example to say, this is what I think things should be like.
Right. And I think one of the best ways to serve is like the example, kind of like your best or your happy holidays message with no sort of agenda driven language in it. There was, I believe it was Philadelphia. They tried to put up a billboard that said atheist.
Yeah.
One word. And a website.
Well, then there's the Omaha Atheist thing where there's somebody spray painted a cross on their let's pick up the street sign.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. Like, how dare you help the community? You're not a part of it. So, yeah, I feel like those examples do so much more to serve us to say, look, it doesn't matter what we do. People hate us.
Right.
And being provocative is definitely important. But at the same time, I feel like not being provocative and getting the same reaction serves us so much better.
Yeah, I think you should be tactical about it. But I think on some levels, all may be necessary.
I would agree in that case.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm thinking about turning that into a commercial, just airing it every once in a while.
I love it.
Me too.
And so much thanks to David.
Yeah, much thanks to David. I'm going to talk to Robert Ray. I might have something to say about this next week, but we are definitely, there is some strategery going on here that we should probably talk about.
Some scheming.
Anyway, see you guys next week.
All right.